Good morning and happy Friday. I'm Cheryl Walker with the News Gazette. Today is Friday, February the 7th, 2025, and we'll begin today's reading with the headline article, Suspect in the Roe Rage Shooting Faces Sentencing in Other Case First. Nearly 4 years after a Champaign man was left a quadriplegic after being shot while driving on Prospect Avenue, his alleged assailant faces a lengthy prison sentence. But 34-year-old Derek Humphrey isn't being sentenced for the October the 24th, 21 shooting of Lynn Gaiser. That case has yet to go to trial. Instead, Humphrey will be sentenced on an unrelated weapon and drug charges. He was convicted in a brief December 6th bench trial heard by Circuit Judge Roger Weber. The trial, which lasted less than 2 hours, included evidence that was, for the most part, stipulated by the prosecution and defense. Humphrey was convicted of illegal possession of a firearm by a convicted felon and an offense that carries a sentence of 3 to 14 years. He was also found guilty of armed violence in a connection with the possession of an illegal drug intended for distribution. This offense carries a mandatory sentence of up to 15 to 30 years. It remains to be seen how prosecutors will handle the shooting case against Humphrey that stems from the Prospect Avenue shooting. The Gaiser shooting case is set for a status hearing at the same time as Humphrey's sentencing. Prosecutors could introduce evidence of the shooting as a factor in aggravation intended to persuade the judge to impose a stiffer sentence. The judge also could set a trial date for Humphrey, who also spells his last name as Humphrey on the shooting case. Or prosecutors could do both. Introduce evidence linking Humphrey to the shooting as a factor in aggravation, and then try Humphrey on charges of attempted murder and unlawful possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. Humphrey was arrested in connection with the Gaiser case in March of 2023, 18 months after it occurred, but he had become a suspect months earlier as circumstances that led to his initial arrest in June of 2022. While driving his girlfriend's car, Humphrey was stopped by police for driving while his license was revoked. In addition to recovering illegal drugs from the car, police also retrieved a handgun that was subsequently identified as the one used to shoot Gaiser. Humphrey's fingerprints were found on the weapon, authorities said. The shooting is yet another example of kind of mindless violence that's plagued the Champaign-Urbana community in recent years. Gaiser responded by honking his horn. Humphrey alleged responded to the honk by waiting until Gaiser's car came closer to his, then firing his weapon. The head wound left Gaiser, a recent University of Illinois graduate in kinesiology, a quadriplegic who continues to deal with his health problems. Gaiser's mother, Terry Von Thatton, said he recently endured a lengthy hospitalization caused by a massive internal bleeding that is a direct result of him being in a wheelchair. Gaiser was released from Carl Foundation Hospital of Urbana on Wednesday and is continuing a difficult recovery at home. While trying to get healthy enough to go to the sentencing, she said, one bit of good news is that Gaiser now has a German Shepherd service dog that has been trained to assist him with his daily living tasks and sound warnings in the event of a problem. He joined our family in August, said Von Thatton, who said the dog is very attuned to Liam's physical condition. Jim Day is a staff writer for the News Gazette, and his email is jday@newsgazette.com. There is a picture of Terry Von Thatton, her son, Liam Gaiser, a 2020 University of Illinois graduate who was shot in the head as he drove on the North Prospect Avenue on October 24, 2021. That picture was provided. Doing his part, Brody Keith's steady participation in See You at Home with one winter night dates nearly a decade. There have been occasions when he spent his wedding anniversary, February 3rd, in a box in downtown Champaign, having a root beer and a sandwich from the canteen run instead of a nice dinner, he said. I'm just trying to raise awareness for a very good cause. It's important to me. Keith and close to 100 others will sleep in tents, boxes, and cars outside the venue See You Tonight as part of the One Winter Night Facility Operations Coordinator at Ubin Basketball Complex on the University of Illinois campus. The 44-year-old from Philo said a trip he took with his wife, Alta, to New Orleans, where there were homeless everywhere, convinced him the couple to get involved. One Winter Night, introduced in 2012, remains a major source of a CU at Home's budget. To participate, donate, or visit cuathome.us. Brody Keith at Ubin Basketball Complex, practice home of the Illini, where he serves as a facility operations coordinator. Robin Schultz of the News Gazette provided the photo. Election 2025. Early turnout low for Urbana's primary. Urbana, just under the 4% of Urbana's voters have cast their votes for primary races, including the mayoral matchup between Annie Adams and Deshaun Williams. According to the State Board of Elections, 731 mail-in ballots had been returned as of Wednesday morning, and 83 people voted early in person in Champaign County. This is out of 20,933 registered voters in the city, said Champaign County Clerk Aaron Ammons. There are three contested races between Democrats in the primary. The one to succeed Diane Marlin as mayor, the Ward 2 race between Alderman Christopher Evans and Larry Leister, and Ward 6 rematch between Alderman Grace Wilkin and Bill Colebrook. In all three cases, the winner of the February 25th primary will run unopposed in the April 1st election, as no Republican candidates have filed for these races. Ammons noted that the primary only includes Urbana races, meaning that voters on his offices permanent vote-by-mail list who do not live within city limits will not receive a ballot for this election. However, they will receive ballots for the consolidated election in April. He said that the clerk's office has not had any technical issues during the primary and everything is running as expected. The county's voting system previously went down for 2 hours during the November general election, said Ammons, saying at the time that the poll workers were having technical difficulties processing voters due to a problem with the vendor, Platinum Technology Resource. He told the News Gazette that the February 25th primary and April 1st election are the county's last with Platinum. His office recently put out a request for proposals for a voter registration vendor and did not receive a response from Platinum. When asked what steps have been taken to avoid a repeat of November's delays, Ammons replied, "Due to ever-increasing cybersecurity concerns, I will not go into detail, but the voters can rest assured that all election judges will be equipped with everything they need to process all voters, regardless of any technical difficulties." Early in-person voting for the primary opened on January 16th, according to the county's clerk office. Times and locations are as follows. Brookings Administrative Center Gym, 1776 East Washington Street. From now until February 14th, this location will be open on weekdays from 8:30 to 4:30 p.m. From February the 17th through the 24th, its weekday hours will be 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. Voting will also be available from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. February the 22nd and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. February the 23rd. Illini Union, 1401 West Green Street, from February the 17th through the 21st. This location will be open on weekdays from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. It will also be open from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. February the 22nd, 1 to 4 p.m. February the 23rd, and 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. February the 24th. Drop boxes for mail-in ballots are available at Brookings, the Illini Union, and the Urbana Free Library, 210 West Green Street. Grace period registration, which allows individuals to register at the polls, open January 29th. City of Champaign, Proud Father Still Show at Council Meeting. The story is written by Joy Wright. This is Jay Wright at NewsGazette.com. A large crowd at Tuesday's night City Council meeting didn't have many reasons for earnest applause, but Ed Green's brief speech in support of his daughter, Valina, drew two rounds of cheers from community members mainly gathered to express disdain for Councilmember Devon Williams' controversial social media post 4 days earlier. "It's really been a blessing just to see Valina, just her growth and development throughout the years," Ed Green said. "She's put a lot of work in and she's excelled really at every single level." Valina Green, with Mother Janice watching alongside Ed, was announced as the management analyst for the city's Public Works Department early in the meeting before nearly 2 hours of public input. Champaign City Manager Joan Walls introduced Valina, noting that it was exciting to have her come back after previously interning with the city while with a high school student at Centennial. "It meant a lot," Valina said, "for my parents to be able not only to come, but to show their support and really just show up for me. They've done that throughout my whole entire life." The 2018 Centennial grad's new role is a homecoming of sorts. The Youth Employment Service program allowed her to gain internship experience with the city's planning department while still in high school, before she twice graduated from the U of I's Springfield campus. "That kind of planted the seed, so to speak, for me not to only have that experience, but really come back after I graduated from college," Valina said. It's kind of the full circle moment. After acknowledging his comments wouldn't follow the theme of the meeting, Ed was visibly moved while telling the room how proud he was of his daughter's efforts. He attributed the occasional tremble in his voice to a lung issue that his daughter says stemmed from a battle with cancer. It just means the world to me that he was able not only to see me get introduced and everything like that, but also to be able to stand up and speak, Belina said. It was very sentimental that Ed was around to speak at all. In part, he says, a testament to research Belina and her sister did when he was first diagnosed with plasma cell leukemia in December of 2020. He was given between 6 and 12 months to live at the time of his initial diagnosis. With 95% cancer in his bones and 60% in his blood, he recalls before a lengthy treatment process in Chicago and Milwaukee. They used my stem cells to do a bone marrow transplant, and then the second one was using Belina's stem cells, Ed said. So right now, I have Belina's blood essentially running through my veins. The last chapter in his journey and the start of his daughter's next chapter was the bright spot of a meeting that otherwise took a different tone. We have a great community here in Champaign, Ed said. Problems are issues do come up, but I think we as a community have the resolve to work through those issues and really come together. Belina Green Center poses with her parents, Janice and Ed Green, in May of 2024 at Belina's master's degree graduation ceremony from the University of Illinois, Springfield. History. Area history in 1925, a special train carrying 46 farmers from Champaign County to Charles City, Iowa, where they will attend a two-day tractor school at a Harp Power Factory, will leave the Champaign Big Four station tomorrow afternoon. These men will have all their expenses paid except for railroad fare. In addition to the school, they will make a trip through the factory of the oldest tractor builders in the world. R.C. Baker, manager of the Baker Harp Power Company of Champaign, says that when they return, they will bring back with them a solid train load of tractors, the only train load of tractors shipped east of Mississippi River in the history of the tractor industry. In 1975, the mysterious disappearance of the head of statue from the graduate library last September semester arose old fears about theft and vandalism at the University of Illinois. But except for a few scattered incidents, the university has had a low theft and vandalism rate compared to other campuses around the nation, according to the university officials. In 2010, elementary band strings and the middle school baseball are two of many proposed cuts on the preliminary list being considered by the Champaign School Board. The district must cut $2.2 million from its 2010-11 budget because of an expected decrease in state revenue and an additional property tax revenue. International History Today's highlight on February the 7th, 1964, the Beatles were met by thousands of screaming fans at New York's John F. Kennedy International Airport as they arrived to begin their first American tour. On this date in 1904, the Great Baltimore Fire began, one of the worst city fires in American history. It destroyed over 1,500 buildings in central Baltimore. In 1943, the government abruptly announced the wartime rationing of shoes made of leather would go into effect in 2 days, limiting consumers to buy 3 pairs per person per year. This was reduced to 2 pairs per year in 1944. Rationing was lifted in October of 1945. In 1971, women in Switzerland gained the right to vote through a national referendum, 12 years after a previous attempt failed. In 1984, Space Shuttle Challenger astronauts Bruce McCandless II and Robert L. Stewart went on the first untethered spacewalk. In 1991, Jean Bertrand Astride was inaugurated as the first democratically elected president of Haiti. Top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy staff writer Luke Taylor. Bellying Up on Fridays will spotlight the men and women serving up cold ones and conversation in our neck of the woods. Let us know about your favorite bartender by emailing itaylor@newsgazette.com. Olivia Orlandi has been with the space from the beginning, and she's still loving every minute. In fact, she'll come in on her days off to try specials, to compete in trivia, and when the restaurant hosted, that everyone that works here is honestly friends. It's just a fun group of people to work with, Orlandia said. After years in service industry, Orlandi decided to take on bartending because it seemed like a more exciting role after experiences being playing around behind the bar on slow nights at other restaurants. Mixing different and unique drinks continues to be her favorite part of her experience at the space, where she played a role in creating the drink menu before the restaurant opened in 2023. A lot of it's trial and error for our cocktail menu here. We wanted classics, but with a spin on them, Orlindy said. We spent a few days going through the cocktails and adding stuff like taking stuff out and trying different ways of preparing them or serving them. That's the style of Orlindy's favorite drink to make, the space take on aviation. It has all the same ingredients as the original, but it's stirred, not shaken. Sorry, Bon. We wouldn't think it tastes different, but when we tasted them side by side, it has a big difference, Orlindy said. I think it's fun, and I like to have people try it. Orlindy said people should stop by for the great food and drinks, including unique specials, as well as welcoming environment where the staff is dedicated to a great experience for regulars and newcomers alike. Outside of work, she's enjoying using 3 consecutive days off to get into new hobbies like knitting and taking plenty of walks, even if she has to bundle up in our winter weather. Data privacy. 13 states plan to suit targeting Dodge. Democratic attorneys general in several states vowed Thursday to file a lawsuit to stop Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency from accessing federal payment systems containing Americans' sensitive personal information. 13 attorney generals, including New York, Letitia James, said in a statement that they were taking action in defense of our Constitution, our right to privacy, and the essential funding that individuals and communities nationwide are counting on. As the richest man in the world, Elon Musk is not used to being told no, but in our country, no one is above the law. The statement said the president does not have the power to give away our private information to anyone he chooses, and he cannot cut federal payments approved by Congress. The White House did not immediately respond to the request for the comment Thursday afternoon. Government officials and labor unions have been among those raising concerns about Dodge's involvement with the payment system for the federal government, saying it could lead to security risks or missed payments for programs such as Social Security and Medicare. Also, Thursday, a federal judge ordered that 2 Musk allies have read-only access to Treasury Department payment systems, but no one else will get access from now, including Musk himself. The ruling came in a lawsuit filed by a federal workers union trying to stop Dodge from following through on what they would call a massive privacy invasion. It was not immediately clear when the Democratic attorney generals will file their lawsuit. Joining James in the statement were the attorneys general of Arizona, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Maine, Maryland, Minnesota, Nevada, New Jersey, Rhode Island, and Vermont. Trump administration deferred resignation program. Judge orders brief hold on federal worker buyout offer. A federal judge on Thursday temporarily blocked President Donald Trump's plan to push out federal workers by offering them financial incentives. The lawsuit tumulted for government employees already wrestling with the upheaval from the new administration. The ruling came hours before the midnight deadline to apply for the deferred resignation program, which was orchestrated by Trump advisor Elon Musk. Labor unions said the plan was illegal, and U.S. District Judge George O'Toole Jr. in Boston paused its implementation until after he could hear arguments from both sides at a court hearing scheduling for Monday afternoon. He directed the administration to extend the deadline until then. White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt said 40,000 workers have already signed up to leave their jobs while being paid until September the 30th. She described federal employees who have been working remotely as lazy, saying they don't want to come into the office. And if they want to rip the American people off, then they're welcome to take this buyout. A federal worker in Colorado who was like others spoke on conditions of anonymity out of fear of retribution, said the insults directed at the government workforce by members of the Trump administration have been demoralizing for those who provide public services. She said the judge's decision bolsters suspicions echoed by people who work across various departments and agencies that the deferred resignation program was legally questionable. Another worker in the Pacific Northwest decided to take up the offer Thursday, even after the judge's decision. She hopes to use the opportunity to move overseas, but even if the money never comes, she says she still wants out. She's unwilling to comply with administration policies such as eliminating diversity initiatives, and she worries that the situation will only get worse for people who stay. The administration has been ramping up its pressure on employees to leave, sending a reminder Wednesday that layoffs or furloughs could come next. The majority of federal agencies are likely to be downsized through restructuring, realignments, and reductions in force, said the message from the Office of Personnel Management, which has been a nexus of must experts to downsize the government. The email said anyone who remains will be expected to be loyal and will be subject to enhanced standards of suitability and conducts as we move forward. Some employees could be reclassified to limit civil service protections as well. Employees who engage in unlawful behavior or other misconduct will be prioritized for appropriate investigation and discipline, including termination. The email said, Democrats and union leaders have said workers shouldn't accept the deferred resignation program because it wasn't authorized by Congress, raising the risk they won't get paid. It's a scam and not a buyout, said Everett Kelly, president of the American Federation of Government Employees. An employee at the Department of Education, who also spoke on condition of anonymity out of fear of retaliation, said the administration appeared desperate to get people to sign the agreement. However, she said there would be too many red flags, such as a clause waiving the right to sue if the government failed to honor its side of the deal. Daybrook. There are 327 days left in the year. Notable birthdays is Arthur Gay Tlass is 93. Senator John Hickenlooper of Democrat of Colorado is 73. Actor James Spader is 65. Country singer Garth Brooks is 63. Actor comedian Eddie Izzard is 63, and actor-comedian Chris Rock is 60. Actor Essence Atkins is 53, and Basketball Hall of Famer Steve Nash is 51. Actor Ashton Kutcher is 47, and actor Deborah Ann Wall is 40. Lotteries. Thursday's Illinois Lottery. Pick 3, midday, 3, 4, 7. Pick 3, evening, 1, 0, 6. Pick 4, midday, 1, 3, 5, 1. Pick 4 evening, 9650. Lucky Lotto midday, 17, 22, 25, 33, 37. Lucky Day Lotto evening, 5, 7, 32, 36, 38. Lotto, 3, 6, 27, 36, 37, 40. The estimated jackpot is 10.25 million. Thursday's Hoosier Lottery, daily 3 midday with 064, daily 4 midday 8449. The estimated lotto jackpot is 39.3 million. Today's Mega Millions estimated jackpot is 94 million. Saturday's Powerball estimated jackpot is 133 million. Need the numbers we didn't have by press time? Contact Illinois Lottery information at 1-800-252-1775. That's IllinoisLottery.com. Hoosier Lottery information is 800-95-LOTTO. That's HoosierLottery.com. Education Department. Campus faces probes over transgender athletes. Washington. The Trump administration is investigating potential civil rights violations against two universities and a high school sports league that allow transgender athletes to compete on women's teams, the Education Department said Thursday. The agency is opening reviews of San Jose State University volleyball, the University of Pennsylvania swimming program, and the Massachusetts Interscholastic Athletic Association. It comes a day after President Donald Trump signed an executive order intended to ban transgender athletes from competing in girls and women's sports. The order calls for penalties against the schools and leagues, saying competing against transgender athletes deprives female students of equality. The previous administration trampled the rights of American women and girls and ignored the indignities to which they were subject in bathrooms and locker rooms to promote a radical transgender ideology, said Craig Traynor, the department's acting assistant secretary for civil rights. The Education Department said it is proactively on the new cases over suspected violations of Title of Title 10, a 1972 law barring sex discrimination in education. National Prayer Breakfast Task Force to Defend the Rights of Christians. President Donald Trump said Thursday that he wants to root out anti-Christian bias in the U.S., announcing that he was forming a task force led by Attorney General Pam Bondi to investigate the targeting of Christians. Speaking at a pair of events in Washington surrounding the National Prayer Breakfast, Trump said the task force will be directed to immediately halt all forms of anti-Christian targeting and discrimination within the federal government, including at the DOJ, which was absolutely terrible, the IRS, the FBI, terrible, and other agencies. Trump said Bondi would also work to fully prosecute anti-Christian violence and vandalism in our society and to move heaven and earth to defend the rights of Christians and religious believers nationwide. Hours after the two events, Trump signed an executive order directing a new task force to identify unlawful policies, practices, or conduct by all executive departments and agencies and recommended any additional presidential or legislative action. Early in the day, the president joined the National Prayer of Breakfast at the Capitol, a more than 70-year-old Washington tradition that brings together bipartisan group of lawmakers for fellowship. He also told the lawmakers there that his relationship with religion had changed after a pair of failed assassination attempts last year and urged Americans to bring God back into their lives. An hour after calling for unity on Capitol Hill, though Trump struck a more partisan tone at the second event across town, announcing that in addition to the task force, he was forming a commission on religious liberty. He criticized the Biden administration for persecution of believers, for persecuting anti-abortion advocates. And Trump took a victory lap over his administration's early efforts to roll back diversity, equity, and inclusion programs and limit transgender practices or participation in women's sports. I don't know if you've been watching, but we got rid of woke over the last 2 weeks, he said. Woke is gonzo. The new task force drew criticism from Americans United for Separation of Church and State. Rather than protecting religious beliefs, this task force will misuse religious freedom to justify bigotry, discrimination, and the subversion of our civil rights laws, said Rachel Lazar, the group's president and CEO. These are the reported deaths. John Wayne Chestnut, 85, of Sydney, January 28th. Paul H. Farber, 76, of Cedar Falls, Iowa, formerly of Rantoul, January 31st. Tammy Lee Foss, 57, of Houston, Monday. John Henry Heap, 77, of Champaign, December 30th. Betty Gilmore Henstrom, 92, of Gifford, Wednesday. Gaddis V. McAfee of Savoy, formerly of Champaign, January 31st, and Julie Ann McKee, 63, of Mount Zion, on Wednesday. We will take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette. Today is Friday, February 7th, 2025. Please stay tuned.